Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we come now to open the Bible again in another book of the Old Testament and to see Jesus. Help us to see Jesus in the book of Amos. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Now we look tonight to Christ in the Old Testament, Amos. And Amos, as many of you know, was a pastor in the land, a shepherd in the land there in Jerusalem. Let me accommodate this here, and we're going to be okay. And the Lord Jesus is the burden carrier. He carried the burden of the moments for the Lord. And we're going to see how the Lord Jesus fulfilled that. Now, just a little bit on the introduction. We know all of these serious progression, but it's good to look upon and look at again. In Genesis, the seed of the woman, we saw that today, all right? How important it was to learn the singular word, the seed of the woman. And then in the book of Exodus, the lamb, the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, we saw the high priest and the sacrifice combining. In the book of Numbers, we saw the brazen serpent that Moses lift up in the desert. In the book of Deuteronomy, we saw this morning when Moses said, a prophet God will raise you. And so the prophet, in Joshua, the savior of our soul as he cleaned up the land. In the book of Judges, the judge and lawgiver as the progressive of 13 judges is there. In the book of Ruth, you remember the kinsman's redeemer, who Boaz. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, as you read those books, you see the constant prayer of the prophet, and we saw that Jesus was the intercessor. And then in 1st and 2nd King, and in 1st and 2nd Chronicle, the king who reigns, all right, or the reigning king. And Ezra, he was a scribe, and Jesus, the faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, he built the walls, and so we can say that Jesus is the builder of the walls. In the book of Esther, we saw Mordecai as a great man, but Jesus is greater than Mordecai. In the book of Job, the healer of our soul. He was a man who was sick, but God healed him, a picture of Christ Jesus to us. In the book of Psalms, we took Psalm 23rd, and so Jesus became the shepherd of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, the first verses of the book of Proverbs talks about the wisdom of God, and so Jesus is the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we took the very last verse, the fear of God. In the Song of Solomon, it talks about a woman in love with a man in love with a woman, the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. That's another, by reading the book of Song of Solomon, you know that Jesus is going to be with you and the church is going to be with him until the end, because the church is the bride and he's the bridegroom. And nowhere in the New Testament said that there is a separation between the bride and the bridegroom. All right. In the book of Isaiah, the Messiah of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, weeping prophet. In the book of Ezekiel, the Joshua of the Old Testament. In the book of Daniel, the King of Kings. And in Hosea, the eternal husband. And we saw last Sunday in the book of Joel, the day of the Lord. And now we're going to have the book of Amos for us. And the topic for discussion is always the same, the book of Amos, and it is relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you again, this is not the only picture you can make of the Lord Jesus. You can read other passage, it makes a picture. But I don't want to be here like Amy was today, what was 4-hour service or something like that. Not today, but last Sunday. So I don't want you to be here 4 hours and Russell is already to speak. All right. So if we learn one lesson, then you know how to compare and to take lessons to it. Now, we always talk about the general information, and so that we don't put too much time to it, do you remember, let me ask you, you remember in Luke 24, 27, Jesus talking to two people or to 11? To two people. And then what did he say to these two people? Look in your Bible. What did he say? Did he say what? The people were discouraged. Yes, sir? The people were discouraged, all right, because Jesus died at the cross of Calvary. And they forgot that Jesus said that you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, said Jesus, remember? And now he raised the temple up. And so he's telling these people, how did he encourage those people to believe? What did he use?
The scriptures.
He used the scriptures. He said, all the scriptures about me. Now in verse 44, he's talking about how many people? 11 people, the disciples. They were discouraged too. Now here are the disciples who were completely discouraged, all right? Boy, we trust in Jesus and he died. And then what happened? Jesus go to them and he used what to encourage them?
He
said, look in the scripture. In the law of Moses, remember? Verse 44 said, in the law of Moses, that the first 5 books in the Bible, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms, and the Hebrew scripture. I asked Camille today, can you show me that Hebrew Bible? And I look on it, and the Bible is divided like that. Moses, prophet, and then they have a page who said, the Psalms. And the Psalms are Micah, Amos, all the people like that. And the Bible says, and in the Psalms is showing about them. So, Jesus used the scripture to show himself. Now there is a second scripture here. It's in John 5:39. You can look into that. And Jesus talking to a different kind of people. Do you remember who he's talking? The Pharisees. He's talking to the elite. The Pharisees were the doctors of the law. And what did he say to them? He commend them for something. What did he say to them? He make a commendation first. He said, you look in the scripture and you do well, because in the scripture, the scriptures witness about me. So you are looking into the scripture and you do well because the scripture witness about me. And the verse that we use most is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Now, this verse is the verse that when I was reading the Bible in Spanish, talking about 29 years ago in family radio, I saw this verse and I said, wow, it's amazing. Somebody have it? Prudence, you have that verse? Read it for us, Prudence.
10:7.
Yes.
10 says, and though I come in the garden of the book, it is written of me.
Good, that's enough. In the volume of the books are written of me. Now, you know that your Bible is one volume, but it's made of how many books? 66 books. And it's in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And so I purposely, 18 years ago in this church, here on Wednesday night, we went through the same studies that now they are used in family radio as a survey of the Old Testament. Finding Jesus in the Old Testament. And so it is good to know that this is remarkable and wonderful. All right, now we go into the real meat of the word, the information about Amos. The first information, don't be afraid for the Hebrew word, the first information that we will have is about the Amos was a citizen of Judah. Now I want to pronounce, help you to pronounce in Hebrew. You see this is Ayin, which is an H. How many of you know that the H, if you have the word hammer, how do you spell the word hammer in English?
H-A-M.
And why do you say hammer when you have an H in the front? Because the H sound like? Aha. No, in other language, the H is mute. See? So this is an H. It's called Ayin. And so this M, this is the A. See the little line here? This is an A. Okay, A. Then this is an M. This is a whole M. And is an O. And this letter has a little curve here, which is an S. And so this is Amos. You call it Amos. Amos. All right, so you want to learn Hebrew and enjoy. Amos, then, was a citizen of Judah. Okay, let's look in chapter 1 of the book of Amos. In verse 1, the word of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And so the words of Amos, citizen of Judah, he was in the city of, here's the letter A, Te, here is K, this is O, and then here is I again. And Tekoa, he was in the city of Tekoa. And I want to compare that with 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, just to give you the assurance that here is the city of where he was a citizen of Jerusalem, Judah. A very, very important point. 20 and verse 20. 2 Chronicles in chapter 20 and verse 20. All right. Here is what it is. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went from Jehoshaphat, he stood and said, hear me, O Judah. So see, he was in Tekoa, and he's speaking to Judah, because he was then in the county. Judah is a county, all right? And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, and believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Isn't that a good verse to mark and to keep it? You believe God, and you be established. You believe the prophets of God, and you prosper, all right? And so the city is where he operate is Tekoa, but he was a citizen of the county, and the county was Judah. And it's very important that we know that. Now, the second factor about Amos that we will know is that he was a sheep breeder. Let's go to Amos chapter 7 and verse 15. Chapter 7 in the book of Amos. Then in verse 15, and also just verse 14. All right, let's use verse 14. Amos 7, 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, as was no prophet, in other words, they accused him. See, he has a very tough prophecy. He's going to say to the people, you're wrong. You go in the wrong direction. You better change your manners. And they were very religious, but not really true in the heart. And so Amos is saying, you people are wrong. And so Amaziah was asking him, he was the official prophet. He was saying, where are your records? And so he's confessing his records. And he said in verse 14, I was not a prophet. That means I would never went to school for that. Neither was I a prophet's son. My father was not a prophet, but I was a herdman. If you have a New King James Version, you maybe have the word sheep breeder, or if you have an NIV or American Standard, that should be, not only he was a shepherd, but he was a sheep breeder. You know, when I acquired my German Shepherd, a dog breeder, from I think northern here Friedman got it for me. I was a teacher, and I said, I give an A to you if you bring me a real shepherd dog. I said, nobody had it. One of the students, their parents were dogs breeders, and they brought me one beautiful German Shepherd, genuine German Shepherd, to my door, and was a dog breeder. And so not only he was a shepherd, he was a sheep breeder. He knew the sheep, and he was there to breed the sheep. And so and that was his trade. That was his work. And so the people were accusing him, why you, where you learned this? And I hold it, this was my trade. In my life. And also, in the same chapter, the next point I want to make, that Amos was a burden a carrier. A burden carrier. He carried the burdens of the Lord. And let me show you verse 15 and 16, what kind of burden he carried. He said, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. In other words, as I went. You see the different shepherd between the Hebrew shepherd and the American shepherd. If you go to Nevada and you see the American shepherd, he's ahead. The Hebrew shepherd is from the back. And the flock knows where they go, and he's just watching. And that's their style. And so he said in verse 15, "As I follow the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel." He must be a believer then, that the Lord will use him. He must be a faithful man that God used him. "Prophesy to my people." And verse 16 said, "Now therefore," he prophesied, not only it means to reveal, but also to preach. "Therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac." Look at verse 17. "Therefore, thus said the Lord, thy wife shall be," and on and on and on. In other words, you people said, don't prophesy anymore, but I have to tell you the truth, and I have to speak the truth to you. And so he carried a burden, a very heavy burden. He is going to prophesy against the regular preachers of the land. The regular preachers were saying, we are doing okay, we are prospering, we are okay. And he's got to come and say, you are against God. You are doing the wrong thing against God. And therefore, that was the burden that he carried. You need to really change. You need to really move on. All right. Now, I want to show you Jesus. Jesus was a citizen of Judah. You're in Amos. Go to Micah in chapter 5. And in verse 2, go to Micah chapter 5, you know this by heart, in verse 2. In this sense, Jesus was the same. Verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from everlasting." That's the city where Jesus was born. The city of here, Bethlehem, which was part of the county of Judah. And so Jesus, like Amos, was a citizen of Judah. Now, Jesus was a shepherd. And if you look into your Bible, there are three major references of Jesus as a shepherd. In John, two times is mentioned. In John 10 and in verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." And if you go to then furthermore to First Peter, in chapter 5, and again, this is a good reference for those who said there is no more office of pastors. You maybe heard this in this area here in California. There is no more an office of a pastor. Now I want you to look to this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And then verse 2 and 3 explain in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3 explain the work of a pastor. Look at what a pastor had to do. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy look, but already mine." You don't get into the pastorship to make money. Now, verse 3, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage," know that you are above them, "but being example to the flock." And now look at verse 4. You keep doing this job, and look at what verse 4 said. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear." Now, when is that, Rask? When the chief shepherd shall appear. When is that?
Last day.
Last day, exactly, when Christ comes. So my job, if I live longer, my job will be until last day. So you heard the theology that there is no longer the office of a pastor. Well, if it's no longer the office of a pastor, what are we doing here? We should be in heaven. You know, simple things like that help you to understand certain things. But look at how Jesus is called here in verse 4. And when the what? The chief shepherd shall come. He's the chief shepherd. So there is no papacy, see? He is the chief shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. I want to show you, go to the left to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Just beautiful. It is a beautiful verse about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. A gorgeous verse about the shepherdhood of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that, what is called here Jesus? Great shepherd of the sheep. And Peter is called the chief shepherd. Here is called the great shepherd. So nobody, you have pastors. No, in America, I know this in some bulletins of a large church. Say a church that has 800 members. They have four or five pastors. And one is called the senior pastor. I'm really curious about that. Here is a senior pastor, Jesus, to me. You know, sometimes when I write a letter, people said, oh, reverend. I don't like the word reverend. Reverend is Jesus. See, to me, let's give all the priority and all the glory to Jesus. We're just servants in the place. And so Jesus was a shepherd just as Amos was a shepherd. Now, was Jesus a sheep breeder? All right, let's go to John chapter 10. And look what kind of shepherd was he. All right, in chapter 10, in verse 1, Jesus was a spiritual sheep breeder. And let me show you, you tell me how he did this. John 10 and verses 1 to 4. And I forgot to write here the burden, but I put it to you. All right, chapter 10 in John, verse 1 to 4. Verily, verily I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, all right? He that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, all right? If somebody did not come to your home through your door and is jumping a window, you know somebody is stealing you, all right? Okay, one time only happened in my life here in Morning Hill. There's a young fellow that's trying to jump at my window. That goes to the front yard. And I looked at him, and he's trying to jump. I told Raquel, before I knock this guy, you go and call the 911. And so, I think he was under drugs. And so I said to him, what do you think he's doing? He said, I want to go to the freeway. And I don't know if he was joking or he was, you know. So I grabbed him by the neck, and I went into the, by the time I walk in on Holiday Drive with him in my hand, the police is coming in. And he said, look at this doodle. He called me doodle. He said, look at this doodle. He said, he hardly can talk English. He don't know where the freeway is. And the police took them and said, we take care. And they put their hands on him. They took pipes and, you know, the smoking. And then who knows where he was. He was looking at the freeway in my window. I knew he was wrong. Rather coming through my door, he wanted to go through the window. And so that's what Jesus said here. Climb it up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd. And the door is Jesus, all right? And how did Jesus breed sheep? To him the porter opened, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name and lead them out. That's the way he breed the sheep. He called you by name. The day you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus called you. Isn't that humbling? We did nothing. You hear a sermon, you hear an invitation, you hear somebody challenge you, but really what you hear is the voice of Jesus calling you. Today is your day. Come here. That's the way people get saved. And I told Hannah, don't push it too hard. Otherwise, just telling her Jesus is after her and see what happened, you know. And this is what is beautiful. Jesus was a sheep breeder. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know what? They know his voice. That's the key to use the scripture when we teach Sunday school, when we preach in the class. Use the scripture because the people of God will follow what? Scripture, the voice of God in the scripture. Now, also Jesus carried a burden. He told the people, you are wrong. You are wrong. And this is what God said. Now, turn your Bible to Matthew's 4, and you can make notation for these. These are the first words that comes out of Jesus' lips when he carried a burden for Israel. All right. Matthew's 4, you know, the temptation, after he passed the test, and the temptation, look with me in verse 17. These are the first words that came out of Jesus' lips to Israel. From that time, Jesus began to preach, say Matthew 4:17, and to say, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, to whom do you say repent? To somebody who's doing right? A sinner. Somebody who's going in the wrong direction or living wrong. You say, repent. And so he carried a burden in his heart. Yes, Jesus was loving. And Matthew 9 said that he was compassionate. John 3 said that he was loving, but he was truthful. He said what? Repent. And that's the message of the gospel. And that's a burden in your heart because, the person who is listening, if you are listening correctly, said repent. I mean, I'm wrong. And that's exactly right. You have to repent. You may be religious, but not really. Now, Amos gave us a practical message, and I copy the scripture for you. All right, 2 Timothy 22-26. I found this very helpful to me in times of stress when people want to argue. I want to read the scripture and see, look at how beautiful counsel. This is Paul talking to Timothy, his disciple. Look at the wonderful counsel. Okay, we carry a burden. We are like Amos. We carry a burden. And how do we talk to people? I found this is the way. Look at here. Flee also youthful lust, because Timothy was young, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. That, Russell, is almost like Micah 6:8 that you mentioned, almost like that, you know? Faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now look at here, I put it. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Somebody want to argue about you and about this? Avoid it. Avoid it. All right? Knowing that they generate strife. All right? And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, be able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. See, you have to correct it. Somebody tell me that there is no church. I say, sorry, sir, you're wrong. I had to defend you. I had to stand for you, correcting them, all right? If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And that's the burden that we carry. We carry a burden to teach people who are ignorant, but we do it patiently, we do it kindly, but we do it truthful. We tell the truth of the people. And the whole thing is to be kind and gentle. And I like this word, to be in humility. In humility. In other words, you know this, don't be so proud. Let's not be so proud. Just humbly to do that. And it's important. You know, because we live in California, and Mr. Camping has said the church is not here and it's a big revolution. And I want to sign some papers today to the radio. Be kind and gentle to help them to carry through. And boy, I got in a storm of criticism because I still have the church. And I thank the Lord that I just quiet, humbly said, you know, I think this is the last time I come here. When you need to sign papers, you send it to me. Because they cannot believe that I do not believe. I tell you something. I only believe the scripture. And there is no scripture in the entire Bible that says that the church comes to an end. No scripture. Unless you said white means black and black means white. Then then you can create a Catholic church. You can create anything. And Matthew and Luke, Jesus said, you see this temple? In 3 days, I turn it around and I destroy them and I will build it up. So he was talking about the spirit, the temple of Jerusalem. They're going to be destroyed, but the temple of God, I will build it up. And you preach that, but you have to do it correcting them and says, sir, I think you are wrong. You just quiet down and calm. The Lord had to give you patience. And I learned from Pastor Bishop, now with the Lord, former pastor of Calvary Baptist in Los Gatos. That was a big, large church then. He said, Gabriel, be kind with the people, firm with the principle. That's hard to do, especially if you have family or people like that. It's hard to do. But you have to be kind with the people. Because perhaps, you see that what they said? Must not quarrel, but be gentle to be able to correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them. No, you. I'm not going to convince anybody. But if God perhaps. You know, in our church we have an example. I sit down with Brother Lee Prater for a whole afternoon, showing him and giving him tools to search. And he came back to me and said, you know, Pastor, you are right. No, I'm not right. God's right. I'm not right. Nobody right. God's right. The church will stand. And he took a stand. And he's under pressure. Christina's under pressure. But they took a stand. They took a stand. But we do it calmly, kindly. Perhaps God will change the mind of some people. Amos carried the message. You read the book of Amos, never Amos gets like Peter, jumping around. Amos was kind and gentle. I guess when you're a shepherd, you learn that. Kind and gentle, but firm. And so Amos was a great guy who gave us a message. We have the message of Christ in our heart. We are not the breeders. Christ is. We just pass it on. And let's pass it on with patience and kindness, firm though, so that people know that you know what you believe. Raquel tells me, you know, nothing of these crazy things that happened through all these years touch me because I know what I believe. That's the key. If you know what you believe, nothing will change you left to right. Be sure that you know what you believe and be kind and gentle so the others too can pass on. And Lee Prater, who was raised in theology in that environment, can change. I say, God, you can change anybody. And for the grace of God, we must yield ourselves to God patiently because God has his people and he brings them out. Thank you, Father. For the message of Amos is a message of evangelism. We carry the burden that many members of our families maybe are in error. Many members of our family maybe are unbelievers. But help us to carry this sweetness of this gospel to them with firmness and kindness so that God can work in their life. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.